CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The supply chain. We go to Alan Tonelson, who keeps Reality Check, his postings observing trade, manufacturing, and the supply chain. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me. All eyes on East Asia and the supply chain reaching America. Well, it's not going to happen by Christmas. I'm told this not by America, but by Europe, because the British economy is already prepared for a meager Christmas because, well, therein lies the problem. Yes, the pandemic. Yes, the manufacturers and the retailers underestimated the buildup of cash in American and European pockets, that enormous amount of cash, and we're talking trillions here, is being devoted to buying things, but there's shortages. So what is to be done? Alan, a very good evening to you. The lineup of container ships at Long Beach is a spectacular illustration of the fact that our retailers and our wholesalers and the shippers were not prepared for the recovery, for the virus to recede enough for Americans to stop shopping again. What is the expectation? Not for Christmas, but for the spring or for the summer of 22, when these conditions will stabilize. Good evening to you, Alan.
Hi, John, and hi, Gordon. The expectations seem to be fairly optimistic, not by Christmas, certainly, but by the spring of next year. And in fact, we've had some very intriguing information concerning prices of container space on ships coming in from Asia. They've gone way down after peaking a few weeks ago. Now, no one knows how long that descent will last. It could pop right back up. It's so dependent on the course of the pandemic, not only here, but in East Asia, including China, where it seems to be staging an even stronger comeback, relatively speaking, than it has here. So the best answer is that it's anybody's guess. But judging from the press coverage from the trade press, folks that have covered supply chains for a long, long time, there is reason to think that these snarls will start to untangle pretty significantly by spring 2022.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, it would seem to me that spot rates for containers across the Pacific would drop because you can't get your ship unloaded. So why would you book a container? Also, when you have the supply chain disruptions in China, because not only of COVID, but the rolling blackouts, people just aren't producing goods for shipment. But I want to say, and I have to say this, that the stack up of ships at Long Beach is another reason to say Alan Tonelson was right years ago, because he was saying we should make our stuff on this side of the Pacific. And if we made our stuff on this side of the Pacific, we wouldn't have to worry about Long Beach. So, Alan, are you going to take your victory lap now?
Gordon, I'm happy to take the victory lap opportunity that you've so graciously offered me. However, I do have to point out that even supply chains inside North America have been pretty knotted up lately, and I'm sure pretty much everybody out there has had the example of having ordered some major product like refrigerators or other appliances or other items that are still to a very great extent made here, including automobiles, frankly, and it's taken weeks and even months to get them actually delivered to your home. So certainly the shorter supply chains are, the easier transportation gets, the easier logistics get. But again, this virus and the stop-start nature of the economy that it's still resulting in continue to wreak havoc on even North American supply chains.
Alan, the expectation here is that Christmas is going to have shortages. Fine. But I cannot determine at this point whether that is a blow to the recovery. Is it too early to say whether the shortages on the shelves are going to lead to a dip in profits and a dip in the expectations for recovery?
That's a great question, and it needs to be framed in the context of an economy that already seems to be slowing quite significantly. In fact, a very respected forecasting series by the Atlanta Federal Reserve last Friday projected U.S. economic growth after inflation slowing to 1.3% at an annual rate, which is a major slowdown from the 6.5 or 6.6% that we have seen in the second quarter. So there's no question that continuing supply chain problems, continuing shortages, and continuing drop-offs in what consumers can actually buy. And we do have to remember that personal consumption still represents about 70 or so percent of the entire American economy. That can't help economic growth, and it certainly can't help prospects for the economic recovery going forward.
Gordon?
Ellen, Catherine Tai, the U.S. Trade Representative, held a virtual discussion with her Chinese counterpart. I think it was Lo He. And they were discussing the China's compliance with the Phase One trade deal. Apparently, China's only purchased 62% of its commitment of American goods and services, and that would indicate that the Chinese are very well behind honoring their agreement. What are your comments?
I was absolutely floored, first of all, by the speech given by Ambassador Tai 1 week ago when she unveiled, at least in a preliminary way, a general outline way, the so-called Biden-China trade policy vision. It was unexpectedly hardline, and I have to think that she's had some influence on the administration's overall decision-making. Having said that, it's a little troubling to see her 1 week later sitting down with a Chinese counterpart, because as she made so very clear last Monday, there's very little to talk about except Chinese noncompliance with that Phase One trade deal. And the best U.S. remedy would be imposing more punitive tariffs on Chinese imports coming into the United States, to at least convey the message that violating the terms of a trade deal signed by the Chinese government has consequences and has major consequences.
Recently, Alan, a photograph was passed around very quickly of a gigantic Amazon distribution center built in around Tijuana, right next to what appeared to be a shanty town of migrants coming from all parts of the world, hoping to get into the U.S. Now, if the discord here is obvious. However, it suggests that American manufacturers or distribution centers or retailers are moving into northern Mexico. Is this new, or is this something that was always in place, so just getting bigger distribution centers? We have about a minute.
Sure. Certainly, you've had a very significant shift of all types of U.S. economic activity from the U.S. into northern Mexico since the original North American Free Trade Agreement was signed back in the early 1990s. It has accelerated to some extent since Trump began imposing tariffs on Chinese imports back in early 2018, and the various China-related problems that Gordon has so skillfully described in this segment have encouraged that shift from China and overall East Asia-related sourcing to North American sourcing, including northern Mexico sourcing. And when you move factories across the ocean, you're going to move logistical and transportation systems across the ocean too.
Gordon, we have 30 seconds. Your opinion, Gordon, right now, is China hurting because of the supply chain? We know we are, but does China show it? 30 seconds, Gordon.
China has problems because of not only COVID, but also the rolling blackouts, which have now affected two-thirds of the population. There are serious supply chain issues there, but their bigger issues are debt, the Evergrande crisis rolling through the property sector.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. Alan Tonelson, our trade guru. He is a blog at Reality Check. It's at Alan Tonelson is his Twitter address. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.